Hey guys, this is Corey Parker, Supercoach God, and you are listening to the Supercoach Champions podcast.
And welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish as always. I'm joined by 2021 overall champion, Tim Moody. Timmy, what a week it has been for Supercoach, eh?
It's crazy. Yeah, there's just like, we're all just desperately waiting for more information and more news. And as it drops, it's just worse news and worse news. It's a headache, man.
Massive headache. And obviously, like, just as we're hitting record, you know, the official news has come out with Dylan Brown officially stood down by the NRL, subject to the no-fault stand-down policy. You know, the statement's pretty short. Basically, yeah, they've enacted the discretion that they can have under the policy because it involves allegation against, you know, the incident involves a woman, basically. So, yeah, that's the reason for it. So I guess we don't know how long that's going to be for, but at the very least, Dylan's not back in court until the 28th of June. So for that purpose, I think, yeah, he's got to go. You can't hang on to him with this kind of hanging over. He might potentially be back, but I dare say, given how slowly the legal system moves, every chance he's just gone for the rest of the season. So yeah, trade about
it. Wow. Yeah, that's real. That's tough for Para. Tough for Para fans, tough for the club. I mean, they're doing it kind of tough enough as it was. There's still a chance to sort of start making things work and, you know, making a run to the finals. But yeah, geez, that hurts. It's terrible for Supercoach, terrible for everyone involved, his family, the girl that was involved, all that stuff. I don't know what, you know, exactly went on there, but geez. Cody Walker too. So have you heard about
that? I was going to say, yeah. So look, not to obviously skip over the seriousness of the allegations, but, you know, the reality is we're a Supercoach podcast. We don't know all the details and we're not going to weigh in on it. You know, there is the presumption of innocence, you know, until there is an actual court process that goes through where, yeah, we're not really going to comment much further. Obviously, hoping that everyone involved gets the support they need, Dylan included. You just worry for everyone involved because it's going to be really tough, you know, if this does play out in through the courts and in a fairly public manner. So, yeah. Obviously, we're not undermining or trying to downplay the seriousness of it, but we do want to focus on Supercoach because that's what we're here for. And yeah, on that, you know, we'll probably change the plans. I was going to talk about something else for crunching the numbers, but I think given the circumstances, obviously lots of us want to trade out Dylan Brown. We might dive into some of the numbers for 5/8 again. So let's jump straight to that now. Crunch numbers like I do. They call me the king of the spreadsheets. Got them all printed out on my bed sheets. My new computer's got the clock. All right. Firstly, again, thank you to our good friend Carl McGrath, accountant, for sponsoring this segment. If you do want to make sure you're not fudging your numbers when it comes to your taxes, make sure you get Carl to help you out. So, look, you already mentioned his name. Cody Walker, also in doubt for this week. There is some chat that he's suffered a slight quad strain and most likely will be ruled out for this week. I'm kind of planning as if he's not going to be there. And since I've got the Cody Dillbags combo, I'm going to have to trade Dylan and find a solution here basically. So look, focusing just on the 5/8 position, right? So we talked about this in this same segment a couple of weeks ago. Feels like a, you know, months ago now, but it was probably only about 4 weeks ago where we compared, you know, Munster, Dillbags and Cody Walker. So given that Munster, I mean, I think we decided, you know, Munster was a clear standout. Come end of season, we thought he's probably going to be the guy. But this is the midst of Origin. We always knew he was going to, you know, see a drop in production over this time, and that's what we're seeing now. I don't think we can trade him in, right? If you need to replace, no. So put a line through Munster for now. Like, he's got to be a post, you know, round 20, round 21 acquisition there. So that brings us to, I mean, the next highest averaging player at the 5/8 position, it's Matt Burton, but he's averaging under 60. And I know he's been better lately, like 3-round average of 78.7, 5-round average of 70.8, but
that's a massive drop, right? From, you know, Cody, who's at a 76.9 average, Dylan Brown at 75.9. Previously, both these guys have, you know, 90 or 80, 3 or 5 round averages. So, yeah, like, it's such a huge drop to get out of Burton. Plus, I mean, Matty Burton might play Origin himself, right?
Yeah, he'll probably at least be 18th man, like, in game one. He'd potentially slide up into jersey 14 if Nico gets a start as well. Yeah, so my first thought is I don't think there is a 5-8 replacement. It's just going to be, you know, for sides that have got Joey Manu or Schuster in their side, taking advantage of those duels and putting either Joey Manu or Schuster at 5-8 and picking up either a second rower or a center winger and possibly even a fullback or prop via duels and stuff like that as well, like a second duel there. So I think that's probably the way to go. That's where I'm leaning towards. What about yourself?
Yeah, look, I tend to agree with that one as well. You know, having Schuster or Joey Manu is going to be super handy for that. Yeah, there is no real standout option at 5-8 who is obviously available at 5-8. I guess just to throw some names out there, I mean, Kalen Ponga, I'm not suggesting he's a home run option at all, but he has at least put 3 games in together in a row, playing rounds 11, 12, and 13, had the round 14 bye. He's ruled himself out of Origin, so he will play round 15 and 16, and I guess to have a clear run. Now, he's back at fullback now as well, which I think we've seen that's his ideal position, but he does have a tougher matchup against the Broncos this week at Suncorp Stadium. So, look, you know, if you can afford to sit on the trade for a week and you don't have to make the move and you still got coverage there, then it's not a bad idea just to sit and wait and you get another look at Kalen at fullback. His break-even is 55.
I'll throw out another name. If he doesn't get selected for Origin, what about Jerome Luai? Say they drop him because he's not in that contingent there and he's just running Penrith pretty much. It could be a thing.
It could be. I think with Luai, like, we've just got such little data of him playing without Cleary. Mm. So just don't know how he will go with that.
I don't think it'll hamper him. I think if anything, it'll increase him.
Yeah, look, it's tough because obviously he doesn't pick up the goal kicking or anything like that, right? That's usually been one of the areas where if, you know, your main half goes out, that's where he can cash
in. Just reckon he'll get more ball though. In good ball area, I think that he'll get more touches.
Could definitely be the case. And like, I guess we have such a small sample size, so I can't even remember. But I do recall there was one game when Luai was playing beside Burton when Cleary missed a couple of games. He didn't really score that well. So, like, we're talking, you know, 60 and below. Now, the problem is Luai, he's really expensive for what his normal average is. I mean, sitting at 646,800, you know, this is mainly off the back of that 155 from 2 rounds ago. So his break-even, you know, is obviously quite high at 116. So it's a super high risk, super expensive play. Look, I'm not saying it's not an option. He definitely could step up, but I am quite worried. Like, it's really quite risky. So, like, he's also the incumbent, right? So I don't think he's...
They probably still pick him. My thinking is they'll go with Hines and Jerome or Moses and Jerome. That's the way I'm at now. But they could go with Cody. Just this little injury thing's made me sort of think they might. That's made me put a little bit of a lead pencil line through him.
Yeah, pretty much my policy right now this week is don't trade anyone who might be selected for the Blues.
Yeah,
so it's too risky from my perspective. Which is why I was saying, like, if you can hang off on trading out deal bags for just the 1 week and you've got coverage somewhere else, then it might not be a bad idea just to just wait and see how it all plays out.
Well, if we've got Cody there as well and Cody doesn't get named, we probably have to, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. So I think if you have to trade to a 5-8, like, then that's really tough. Ideally, I'd probably make sure you've got your dual position somewhere. I mean, maybe even just trading him to Joey Manu might be the better solution. And that gives you another look at who might be available for, you know, Origin. Like, for example, if Burton misses out selection altogether, then he might not be a bad shout to cover round 16 and also round 19. As a Bulldog, he has that nice buy schedule.
It's a good suggestion, Wilfred. If people are to pick up Manu, like you suggested, yeah, they could pick up Manu this week, put him in 5-8, and then they can make a decision next week. If there is another 5-8 they want to go with, they could sell a centre winger, move Manu back down to centre, and pick up a 5-8 next week. So that sort of covers both rounds for people in that situation. Nice thinking.
Yeah, I'm always trying to think of options here, basically. So, yeah, look, strictly actual 5-8s, it's yeah, quite risky, I think, on the whole. I mean, Ponga is actually one of the better options because he has ruled himself out of Origin and does play round 16, but, you know, he's got his own set of risks there. If you want to get really out of the box, I mean, Luke Metcalf is actually an option because he's 5-8 only. He's like 250K third game, and he's got a -9 break even. So at the very least, he'll make a bit of cash. He won't help you next round. So it's purely, you know, if you don't want to go with a 5-8 at all and you're just happy just to, well, I need to free up Dilbag's cash and use that elsewhere, he might be an option to just, you know, make some money for a week or two. But yeah, I wouldn't go out and recommend him. It's just he is an option because he's got that negative break even. And he does have some super coach ability. Like, I think his scores are better than his NRL gameplay so far. So, yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I wish I could dive into the numbers a little bit more, but unfortunately, just, yeah, obviously, late pivot on the planning. So, yeah, we'll just have to go with that chat instead. Yeah, I guess the main thing I wanted to highlight is there is such a big gap in the 5-8 rankings, basically, between Cody and Dilbags down to your next best options. And for that reason, I think you're absolutely spot on. Probably the best solution is to try look elsewhere and find like Schuster for a week at 5-8, Joey Manu for a week, just play them there. And then, yeah, trade Dilbags to whoever you can get at best at second row or center wing or whatever.
So many headaches. And then there's Cleary. You got to make that decision next week as well if we're not going to make it this week. So many things.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely come to that Nathan Cleary topic shortly. But in the meantime, definitely get in touch with Carl as tax time is here. Get Carl to do your tax return. He'll legally maximize your tax refund, whether it's just a basic tax return or accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains, or even crypto trading of any sort. Carl can help you out, record everything correctly. There is no job too big or too small, whether it's a small individual tax return right through the businesses being run through companies, partnerships, or trusts. Carl can help you out. And on the flip side, being a small business himself, Carl has very few overheads. He can pass on all his savings to his clients and he'll be the one doing all the work for you. So definitely get in touch with Carl if you need. He's got that special right now for Supercoach Champions podcast listeners, $99 for a basic tax return. And even if your return is not a basic one, he'll obviously look after you on price and yeah, have a chat to you about Supercoach as well while you're going through the process. All right, let's jump over to some captaincy chat.
Good morning, Captain.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy.
All right. Timmy, were you one of those poor souls like myself who captained Nathan Cleary last week?
Indeed, I had no even thought of looping, though. I had VC on Cody for 100. I was like, no way am I looping that, no way. So I can't, it's not as bad for me as some people that were sort of sweating on, do I loop, do I not, do I loop? You know, I was always going to go with Nate there, unlucky.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I also had the blue armband on Cody. And look, I will say I did consider looping, but then, yeah, by the time I the final updates rolled through, it was like, yeah, too late. I got to stick with Nath. But, yeah, that didn't work out too well, but it was due to injury, unfortunately. I think it was still a really solid pick. But anyway, look, this round, really quite interesting, obviously, right? We're losing these captain options. You know, Cleary was always a good option. You've got the likes of Dave Fifita out, who's been on a tear. It's just really, really tough. So I think let's look at, you know, the early games. And it's an interesting week because there's not too many Supercoach relevant guys who are playing in the first couple of games of the round. You know, for me, I'm always looking at vice-captaining someone who's on the Thursday or Friday. Yep. So I'm going to throw three names out there, basically, from those six teams that play those games.
Let me guess which three names you're going to throw out. You're going to throw out Buller. You're going to throw out Jermaine Asako.
Yep.
And you're also going to throw out someone from the second game, which I can't think who it would be. Maybe SJ.
Look, you got 2 out of 3.
Okay, yep.
Look, the obvious one is actually someone who we didn't think was going to be playing this game, but he is. It's Tommy Turbo. Come on, mate.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look, he's not just a vice captain. He could also be a captaincy option. But, yeah, look, I think SJ might be my fourth name if I had to throw a name out there, but I know a lot of people, you know, aren't looking his way.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's got to be one of those three, I think, just because I don't think anyone else playing those games really has the upside to deliver something that is loop worthy. But yeah, I mean, any other names you want to throw out aside from those three?
For holders, it's a little bit cheeky and it's a massive throw something at the wall and just see if it sticks, but it's very unlikely. Jared Croker. He's kicking goals. If they could just feed him some tries, and there's, I don't know. Look, I don't think it's, I can't see him having a score that's loopable, but it'd be fun to be on him. And then just ride your captain in a week. Yeah. I sold him
that's
last
a good
week.
Shout, so honestly.
It's a bit fun.
It's definitely, I like that. It'd be good fun to ride, Croker for his 300.
Especially in a week where there's not a great amount of them standing out. Why not take a go at it? In the next game, I was going to go Cody Walker on the first Saturday game. So that's the fourth game of the round, but that sort of changed my plans
now.
Yeah.
Even if he plays, I think it's too risky, right? If he's got this, you know, little injury scare, I'd be a bit nervous.
Not for a VC. You could still roll the dice with a VC. Yeah. And just if he goes well, it goes well. If he gets injured or they pull him off or something, so be it.
Yeah, it's good to
know. There's nothing else there.
Let's move to the captaincy options. I think generally a lot of the ones actually play later in the round. So, you know, it's interesting. The first name, if it wasn't for the injury, I would have suggested Cody Walker as actually a captaincy option. But, yeah, I agree. Like, vice captaincy probably at best, and definitely not a captaincy option just because of the injury scare if he plays at all. And I tend to think he won't play. But Reece Walsh, got to be on the – on the options there, right, for a captaincy.
Yep.
Risky, but, you know, playing at home against the Knights, probably the shortest price favourites this week, actually, of all the teams. So,
yeah.
The punters have confidence in the Broncos, putting up a bit of, you know, a decent score. So I think Walsh will be amongst the points for sure. Anybody else? I mean, is it a week to even play at Super Safe with, like, a Payne Haas?
No, I don't reckon. Play it that safe. I still reckon there's a bit of upside to be had. Obviously, people who've still got Nico, that's a very nice thing against his old club. You know, it's not like a 150 game that just looks like a certain 150, but he's been scoring 70s and 90s just with ease. So he's probably got at least that in him, and he might want to lift against his old club, against his old mates, and also it's his final sort of like hurrah.
Auditioning for the halfback spot, isn't he?
Yeah. So he's a really good option. Mitch Moses, for people who have him, he looks good. Gutho, I'd like any of them.
What about Teddy being on a bit of a tear? And the Panthers, obviously no Cleary, but I still think defensively, right, they're going to be pretty solid.
Yeah, I wouldn't be going Teddy against the Panthers. No way. He might have a massive game, but still only put out 80. I just think that we'll restrict the Roosters. We smashed them last time. Yeah, we don't have Nath, but Nath doesn't make all our tackles. The rest of the boys do. So
no, that's fair. That's very fair. And I mean, are the likes of Grant, Munster, they're off limits, right? Until they show a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so. Just because of the matchup against Cronulla as well. Although Cronulla have been sort of leaking a fair few points. I don't like Harry Grant as a captain option here, but I don't mind Munster. I don't know how many people would own him still at this point. There'd be some. I just don't think he's that commonly owned.
No, I think it's a good shout. Look, plenty of people have held, I believe. But, I'd be thinking a little bit more about, it's tough, right, when they're coming off 30s and 40s, backing up from Origin. But, it's still pretty tough to
– Yeah, 17% owned is still a fair bit, isn't it? I thought it would have been less than that by now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I don't think that number goes up, but certainly doesn't. It's less likely to go down given. I mean, Dillbacks might have been a trade target for some people or whatever, thinking they were going to cover around 16 and 19 with him. But, yeah, definitely not now. I don't think there's any other names that come to mind for captaincy, and I tend to think I'm going to go with maybe a Nasako and then Captain Hines or something like that. I'm going to play it very vanilla this week. What are you thinking yourself?
Well, I was going to go VC Walker into Captain Walsh. Now I'm thinking I'll probably go VC Walsh. God. See, I don't have anyone to... Yeah, I might have to go VC Azarko, but I don't think it's going to be big enough. I'm going to have to delve into that because I kind of don't... I'd prefer to VC Walsh if I can, I think, now.
Yep. I think that's fair.
I'd love to pick up Mitch Moses this week. I think he'd be a great buy. If we know he's not playing Origin, he's a really nice buy. But if he does get that call up, it's such a dagger to the heart for our super coach. So, I don't think I could bring him in. Even if I was certain they were going to go a different way, you can never be certain with Freddie. And he's got enough of a case to be picked as well.
No, I think I tend to agree, yeah. It's just so tough, like, given the uncertainty over that Blues team, I don't think I could bring Moses in now if I didn't have him ready, just because there seems like a really real risk that he might be selected next round. So,
yeah.
Tough one.
Freddie likes him. He's got that connection with the Lebanon side. Having coached him there. He, you know, played game three for us last year. I think... if it wasn't for Nico Hines, he'd be straight in. I don't think Adam Reynolds is really – I don't think they'll go that way.
No, I tend to agree, even though it might actually make a lot of sense. But, yeah, with, you know, some risk over Cody himself now, like I genuinely think if Cody was fit and Trell was ready to go and they had a good game this week to showcase that, there might have been some temptation for Freddie to bring in Adam to complement the other two. But,
yeah
with them, both of them likely to miss the game, I don't think he'd lean towards that. So I tend to agree it's going to be between Nico or Moses there, and I think maybe whoever has a better game this week might get the nod.
Nice.
All right, I think that's enough on captains. Let's jump into some strategy chat for this week.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, look, there are so many questions I think floating about for, you know, all the super coaches out there. Joe and I had a chat about some of these last night, but I'm interested to hear your take. First and foremost, Nathan Cleary, I mean, we've all got him.
Yeah.
You know, do you think he's a trade out, or is it a matter of let's wait and see what happens and then trade him out next week?
I get the vibe it's a definite sell. I've not even really thought about potentially even holding him. It's an awkward thing, but it looked like a bad, I don't know much about injuries and stuff, but just the way how he was grabbing it, and from what I've heard, you know, with listening to Magic Sponge podcast, it being high up, it's not a good thing too. It's usually a sign of it taking a bit longer. 6 weeks, I think it'll be 6 weeks. I can't see him coming back any earlier.
So let's say that's around 21.
Yeah, that seems like too far away. And there are some options to sort of go. There's not a plethora, but I just think in that position you want to have two attacking guys that are setting up tries and potentially kicking goals for you as well. Yeah, it's a weird one. Like I've half entertained the idea of just selling him to Nico for this 1 week play, and then so I've at least just got one of them there. So I'm nervous if I sell, because I've already sold Hines. If I sell Nico and Cleary, which is likely what I'm going to do. It's going to be hard to do that. Yeah, it's very hard.
Yep.
Yeah, see, that's why maybe I'm thinking a part of me is like, I'll just hold. I'm not going to do anything with him this week, reassess next week, see who's available. If Moses is available, I'll probably definitely, that sort of goes against each other, but that's fine. So, yeah, I'd likely sell Cleary to Moses. And then if Moses isn't available for Supercoach, then I might hold. But the good thing is that there's Fifita there. I think I'm more inclined to sell him now with that 16 and his score. That'll be in his average for a bit, that he'll drop a bit of cash and be able to be more achievable to get back.
I want to come back to that because, yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about Fifita. But so from your perspective, yeah, you're either selling Cleary to Hines this week or you're holding him for a week and then you're going to go to Moses if he's not selected.
Yeah.
Now, if he is selected, then what are you going to do? You're just going to – keep holding until...
I might look elsewhere. I'd have to have a look, closer look at the draw. I might consider Matty Burton. I might consider Jerome Hughes even. The thing with me with Jerome Hughes is he hasn't been looking that great this year. He hasn't really been scoring that well. The running game's not there, like the line breaks and where he just sort of carves up as much. But I just don't think players like him fall off a cliff altogether. So I could see it coming in the back end of the season just to balance out a slower start. So and the price that he's at, it seems like it's not too much of a risk sort of getting him. He's not going to drop any more money, I don't imagine.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Look, for me, I'm leaning towards just holding. And
right. This has got 2021 Pappenhausen vibes on it for you, mate.
Difference being is that I always was going to hold Cleary, like if, you know, he didn't get hurt. So for me, I was always just planning to run with Nico and Cleary. I've got Nico, so that's, you know, helpful having him there already.
Yep.
And I kind of went through this yesterday, but just to reiterate, like I factored in having him this week, obviously. So round 15, I expected him to play. He was never playing round 16, right? Because he's going to play Origin. I thought he might play round 17, maybe not, but it's more like than I was expecting him. So I definitely knew he'd play round 15, round 18, maybe 17, and I didn't factor him playing round 20 because that's the game after Origin 3. And Panthers last year, you rested everyone basically that played Origin. Yep. So mass resting, you know, you guys are still traveling strongly, so I think you would have had the luxury to rest a lot of you guys. So for me, I'm only really losing out on two, maybe three games of Cleary if I was to hold him till round 21, more than what I was originally planning. So it's not ideal, but like I said, like I don't love the other options. I mean, I might consider Cleary to Moses if Moses does miss selection. But yeah, even then I'm kind of thinking, well, I'm going to have to bring him back sooner rather than later. So that's a decision for next week. So I do think SJ is an option. But obviously you need to have that confidence in the Warriors continuing their form and obviously be able to keep going. It is a pretty tough one against the Raiders at home playing for Jared Croker's 300th game. So it'll be a tough one for sure. So, yeah, for me, I'm definitely holding this week. I might flirt with the idea of Mitch Moses next week, but more likely than not, I'm just going to hold.
Okay.
I think because, you know, now I've got a factor in trading out Dylan Brown, who I wasn't planning to trade out basically, so...
So you'll probably cop an AE most weeks, or you think that Nico will cover those other rounds? Have you married that up? Or
yeah, I think, you know, aside from round 17, that's the only issue because Nico's going to be on bye that week. So having said that, I was looking at, you know, being pretty skinny for that round anyway. So it's most likely that I'm going to be trying to loop and have that AE set up anyway.
I don't hate the hold. I think it's takes away the stress of like, how am I going to get him back? And now I don't think I can get him back and that sort of stuff. So from that point of view, it's good. Yeah, I feel like I just want to keep cracking whips. So I feel like that just takes away one of my whips.
I know what you mean. So yeah, look, I think, you know, for me, the biggest issue is obviously having to trade Dylan Brown now. So that's a trade I wasn't factoring in to have to make. And therefore I'm, you know, more minded to try to hang on to Cleary. As a result. But look, you were saying before, Dave Fafita, you know, if you don't trade Cleary or whatever, like you're leaning towards trading out Fafita instead because he's got that low, you know, low score in the rolling average, going to drop some cash. I do think for me, like the way I look at it is like if you're holding on to other guys, like then Fafita becomes a better option to sell. But is there the temptation now that you know you might have to deal with Cleary, you might have to deal with Dill Brown or whatever, like,
oh, Harry Grant too, yeah.
Or Harry Grant, like, does that bring Fafita into, you know, hold territory for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, for the fact that if when you don't have him, I've had him all year, so I've never not had to worry about that, but I can't imagine anyone going around week after week not having him without, like, you know, nearly having a body aneurysm every week. I know you're one of them, so, yeah, you sold him out in that weird week you had where you were a bit crook or whatever and just... that was a bit weird.
I missed my lockout and I had to trade my guy and I traded him. Yeah. It's round six till now is when I'm not had Fafita. So it's been painful.
For that reason, I think he's one of those guys you just have to have. I feel like you could just not get Harry for the rest of the year and just trust in your second guy, whether it be Cook or whatever. But for that one, like Fafita's just that much better than everyone else this year in that position. Harry Grant normally is that much better, but hasn't been that much better. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that I can do it. Hey, like, I'm sitting on 19 trades before this week, which I still feel very worried that I'm going to have, you know, 4 or 5 weeks without trades towards the back end or something. I am playing quite overall focused as well, so I've got to keep that in mind. But a part of me thinks if I sell Dill Brown, I sell Cleary, and even if I sell Fafita as well. Like, that's going crazy, right? It's doing no more.
I wouldn't sell all of them, no.
Yeah, but even if I do, that's only six of the 19 that I've got left. You're like trading one out, trading one back in.
It's a third of your trades gone.
Yeah, but there's not that many other players that I really think I really, really want. There's so many guys that are just sideways trades that have been sideways for me all year. Could have held this guy instead of that guy, but going with this guy because he's the flavour of the week, you know? So,
yeah, no, that's fair.
I'd say that now, but injuries and stuff happen and suspensions, and obviously want to have a really good side in the finals for head-to-head as well. Yeah, maybe only two of them's a sell. Just really feel like I feel like Cleary, the reason I want to sell him is because I just, yeah, although there's not, I guess that's the thing though. There's no one really, except for Moses, saying, pick me. So.
It sounds like this might be a problem for future you, as in next week.
Yeah, for sure.
Work this one out.
Yeah.
Look, that's fair enough. So I guess the only other thing I want to think about, because a lot of people are struggling with this for this week, right? You're trying to replace these guys and you're trying to also prepare for the buyers. And look, maybe if your head-to-head focus is not such a big deal, but ultimately I think most of our listeners are on the overall focus there. So looking at teams covering round 16, you know, who are the names that you definitely look at and you go, I want to make sure I've got that person in my team for that round? Do you have any names that definitely jump out and you're like, well, I've already planned for this. I've got them already. I'm not going to go without them.
I'd kind of like to say, like, Moses, assuming he's available now, like, that's probably one name that really stands out. Other than that, I think I'd like to get either Bateman or Niokora.
Niokora, yep. I think both of them are really good options, yeah, absolutely.
Don't mind Bateman for a bit cheaper, but I just think those guys are a bit more fun, have a bit more upside, and I've got a bit more faith in them. Apart from that, there's not a great deal of other names lurking around, except for maybe the fullback spot. There's like, I'm thinking maybe I want to get a Will Kennedy or a Gutho.
Dylan Edwards?
Yeah, maybe Dylan Edwards. Maybe. I was a bit put off by the 800K price, and then I was put off by the score last week. I think I really do think I prefer Kennedy or Gutho.
Yeah, I can certainly get around that, because obviously Kennedy helps with round 19 as well, as long as you got coverage in round 17. Look, obviously Buller is another name that needs to be talked about.
I don't want anyone to ever say that name to me ever again. I'm sick of hearing that name. Don't want to hear anything about Buller. It is the most frustrating thing for any, like, us non-owners. Gee whiz. And yeah, you can still get on him this week, but I'm not bloody doing it. My pride is too big to swallow.
That's fair enough, for sure.
Go on, you can talk about him though.
Oh no, it's you know, I think you've summarized it. Like, you've either got him or you don't have him, and you either, you know, just cop it and just go, look, no, not gonna do it.
Still a great buy at the price. And with the BE that he's got, still a great buy, but I'm just one of those people that can't get my head around that everyone else, or most people, paid 200K for him, or 350 or 450, or, yeah, can't do it to myself.
Yeah, just if you just got to ignore that little green $369,700 profit that is written there and just focus on the fact that, oh, look, this guy is a $570,000 fullback with negative break even, averaging 73 for the season, so let's do it.
Yeah, I bought Hosking for a similar price with only one game sample size and was like, doing that. So, like, yeah. I think it's sometimes you just don't like to be the person who does something last.
You've got to put your pride aside sometimes, mate.
Yeah. I was going to come up with one of my weird metaphors, but it was too far-fetched, so I'll just leave it.
Fair call. Look, I'm going to throw a couple of other names out, because did you know the highest averaging player that most likely is available for this round is Greg Marju?
Right. Yeah, he's actually been a little bit someone. He's probably another bloke that I'm like, don't have him, hate everyone else that has him.
That's why I'm wrestling with bringing him in, hey?
Yeah, don't mind him. He just scores pretty easily.
Yeah. Afterwards, you drop down to Kennedy, Edwards, Meany as the next highest average after Marju. And then you get into your Niokoras, Hopgood, Buller, Drinkwater, Moses, Garrick, Gutho, Gagai, assuming he's not picked Queensland again, And then, yeah, you're really getting to like Mulitalo, Bateman, Talakai, Karaz.
These averages that you're
having players.
Wow, there's so many above the guys that I was like, I don't often don't even look at the averages. I'm just going off gut feel and what I've been watching with footy and stuff. So I got Mulitalo and I'm thinking about Bateman this week, and they seem like they'll far down the pecking order, and they're the two I've sort of brought in this week and last week.
So yeah, they're averaging 65, so it's certainly not bad. It's just, you know, there are guys ahead that are actually going a little bit better. But, you know, Kennedy's at 74, 75. You know, someone like a Drinkwater is sitting at a 70 average, but it's just in recent times, like he's got 105 three-round average. Moses is on an 80 three-round average. Garrick's at 84 three-round average. So it's interesting looking at those numbers, right? Bateman's an 83 three-round average. So sometimes you got to look at the form and look at that instead. But yeah, look, it's quite interesting. I am looking very closely at Marju myself, even though he doesn't cover round 17. He doesn't cover round 19, but he does help with round 17. Yeah, I can't quite decide. But, you know, now that I've got this Dylan Brown money, I might actually be able to afford him quite easily. So
yeah, I don't mind the Marju thing. I'm going to have a closer look at him. He's been someone that I've kind of wanted, but felt like I missed out and was just kind of like, I look at other options. But, yeah, I mean, I feel more confident about him scoring big than, say, a Will Kennedy, who I've talked up. It's just Will Kennedy looks exciting just at the back there. So I think, yeah, I get too caught up on the exciting things. And Marju's obviously exciting when he's, like, bursting over five people for a try.
Well, he's averaging 80.2 from 9 games so far this season, right? So obviously missed the opening rounds.
From 9 games.
So across 9 games, he's hitting an 80.2 average. And, like, if you take out all the one or two gamers and – you know, you then take out Cleary, who's not available. Fifita is not available. It's basically, this is all players available. So Nico Hines, 99.2 average. Cleary, 83. Fifita, 83. Jermaine Asako, 80.8. And then Greg Mars, who's the next highest averaging player, 80.2. So of the players actually available, he's the third highest averaging player in the whole of Supercoach.
19. Could go up to about 700K if he has a big one.
He does have a tougher matchup against the Broncos, but, I mean, their edges can be exposed, right? Ronnie could have scored, you know, up to 4 tries potentially last week, but he bombed a couple himself, and, yeah, the Broncos obviously scrambled like crazy, so I definitely think Marju could find himself across once or twice. And
when he doesn't score tries, he's usually getting your 50 still, right?
Yeah, look, I think we know he's a base stat beast when he gets to work, so I am very interested, and just it's hard to argue with the numbers, right? Like the eye test for him has always been about how many tries is he letting in and is that going to lead to him being dropped? But I don't think he's in danger of being dropped anymore. Just, you know, his last game he scored a hattie.
Yeah. And he doesn't – on the eye test too, he doesn't look as bad of a defensive liability as what he had at the start of the year. That was my reason for not bringing him in. I thought, oh, he'll get dropped.
Yeah. I think it's a fair shot.
It hasn't looked as bad. Yeah, okay.
No, that's why I'm getting a little bit more confident. I kind of think, like, he's going to be a season keeper. And I know I've missed a boat on him and you know, 17.7% of super coaches already have him, but that's still a lot of us who don't. So
is it – do you say 7 or 17?
17.7%. And probably a lot of these are highly ranked as well. So I'm just looking at the overall rostered percentages. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess to finish up on this topic, I think – round 16 is really broad. There's a lot of names that you can look at. I don't think there's any that are really like must-have kind of options aside from maybe like your Nikura Bateman types. If obviously Mitch Moses is available, then he's a great shout. You know, Drinkwater, Gutho at fullback, Kennedy, Dylan Edwards at fullback. Like, I don't think there's any really guys that if you didn't have them, you'd be terrified of not having them for the round. So I think that's been the case with a lot of Supercoach this year, and I think that's really exciting. Yeah. It makes the whole game more interesting. So, got to love it. Mate, thanks for jumping on. Any last words for round 15?
Yeah, if everyone could just say 10 Hail Viliami kickouts before they go to bed just to warn off any bad curses that we might get more carnage through this week, that'd be fantastic.
It does feel like that, hey.
I'll do 11 just to do a little bit of extra work, but if everyone else could do 10 Viliami kickout Hail Marys, that'd be good. Hail Viliami kickouts.
Hail Viliamis. I think, yeah, we definitely have angered the Supercoach God somehow. So We've got to fix that. We've got to make it right. So it, maybe Viliami's the guy we need to bow down to.
And Croker double.
I like it.
Yeah, send that vibe out.
Hey, I'm all for it. I still have Croker in my team, so let's go. Let's go, Jared. Jared Croker for his 300th. I love it.
All right, catch ya.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you again soon.